Ashukacha Baya. Let's begin. We are in Chavis Halvavas Shah Bitochen Perikei. At the end. Okay. The Chavis Halvavas at the end of this Perik, Shah Bitochen Perikei. In the last page in Perikei, in my Lev Tov edition, it's page Shin Ayin. We went through a long discussion of the differences between a person with bitachon and a person without bitachon. We mentioned seven differences, practical differences between the way they lead their lives, between the way their lives will look. I do think it's worth recapping it briefly. Let's recap briefly. What are the differences? And then move on to the discussion that the Chavis Halvavas is going to lead this into. I'm sorry, I'm just going to close the door here. Number one. Now again, I'm reiterating for the umpteenth time that the premise of the Chavis Halvavas' discussion in this perek was that both the person with bitachon and the person without bitachon are both engaged in hishtadlus. They're both engaged in material efforts. We're using Parnassa as the classic example to illustrate concepts of bitachon. And therefore, we say once again that a person with bitachon is engaged in hishtadlus. He will be making material efforts toward his Parnassa. That is part of bitachon, as discussed earlier. If so, what will the differences be? So let's move briefly through the seven that we've learned over last week. Number one is that, yes, they're both making material efforts toward their parnasa. The difference will be how they'll relate to the outcome. The person with bitachon makes the effort, but then afterwards, he is pleased and at peace with however it works out. Made the effort. If it failed, the person with bitachon says, I did mine. This is what Hashem wanted for me. It's fine. The person without bitachon is fretting because his efforts just fell flat. And now he's in trouble. The person with bitachon is not in trouble. He knows that he's in good hands. He knows that he's being cared for. He knows that however it turned out is really the best for him, just that he had to go through the motions of doing his. That's number one, in the way they relate to the outcome. Number two, while they are doing the hishtadlus, the person with bitachon is absolutely calm and serene. He's not in suspense when he's doing it. How will it turn out? I'm doing the hishtadlus. I'm doing the material efforts because, once again, Hashem wants me to do it. And after I do it, he's going to do whatever he decided is best for me. A problem with the volume? Perhaps try calling in. If you're not hearing us, perhaps try calling in. Okay, I will.
I hear fine.
You hear? Okay, so you know, I'm going to tell you the phone number.
She's got it. What I sent out.
Oh, okay, Shukach. I guess if she's not hearing me, you wouldn't hear the phone number either, come to think of it. Thank you, Mrs. Taylor. Okay. Okay. So, reason number two is that, sorry, difference number two, again, is that the person with bitachon goes about the ishtadlus with equanimity. He's calm, he's not in suspense. While the person without bitachon is in suspense, fretting to see, will my ishtadlus play out right, and how will it play out right? Oh, yeshu koyach. Number three, the person with bitachon, when he relates the ishtadlus differently, he does not relate, he relates the ishtadlus as dry motions. He'll put mental energy into doing them right. He'll do it with due diligence. But he does not relate to them as the source of what's going to make or break his material state of affairs. And therefore, if they fail him, he understands that they didn't fail. It's a mitzvah. Doing ishtablus is a mitzvah. I'll continue doing the ishtablus as long as it still makes sense. And if they succeed, he's not going to say, wow, that was a great thinking on my part. He did the motions that Hashem expected of him, and Hashem provided what he wanted to provide. Whereas the person who lacks bitachon sees in the ishtablus the source of his success or his lack of it. Number four, a person with bitachon, if he has more money than he needs at the moment, he will be quicker to spend it on mitzvah purposes. Because, you know, this is what Hashem wants of me now, and therefore it makes sense to spend my money on it. And if no more needs arise in the future, I'm in Hashem's hands. Whereas the person without bitachon always feels like any penny he has to be ensuring his state of affairs in the future. So if I have three extra dollars now, I already better start plugging the hole of next week. So that's number four, how they'll relate to extra money that's in their hand right now. Number five, a person with bitachon will not do ishtablus at all costs. He understands that as much as Hashem wants him to do ishtablus, he wants that ishtablus to be limited within the framework of halacha and within the framework of a life of a decent spiritual and family program. He won't do ishtablus if the only ishtablus he can do now is something that's going to wreck his family life or that will wreck his spiritual program, or certainly if it's going to require him to go against halacha. He says, this is not the ishtablus that Hashem expects of me. I'm only doing ishtablus because Hashem wants me to cooperate with his plan. But once it's a ishtablus that Hashem doesn't want, that conflicts with higher values, I don't do it. Whereas the person without bitachon feels that I just have to make the money come in one way or the other, whatever expense it's at. Number six is that a person with bitachon is going to be in a much better social situation because he doesn't feel competitive. He doesn't feel like other people are infringing on what he could be making, etc. Whereas a person without bitachon will have much more of a tense edge to him, feeling much more competitive with people, feeling a lot more like other people are affecting him. The person with bitachon doesn't feel that anybody's affecting him. Nobody can better my situation. Nobody can hurt me unless Hashem decides. And therefore, he relates with much more of a serene attitude to the people around him. Whereas the person without bitachon will always be tense about people competing with him, people who should have helped him more. He could have been in a better situation if that person would have helped him, if that person wouldn't have tripped him up, etc. And number seven, the last one, is that the person with bitachon will never really, here's taking it to another level, the person with bitachon will never be overly distressed about anything outside of his own spiritual failures. Because anything that happens, but anything, he understands, if it wasn't due to my own failure, anything that happens in my life is being guided by Hashem, who knows best for me what's good for me, who knows best for everyone what's good for them. And therefore, he moves through life just with a more relaxed attitude. The only thing that really concerns him is, am I doing what I need to be doing? Am I fulfilling my obligations toward Hashem? That is where his stresses lie. That's where his concerns lie. You know, let's read through this. I see that we actually did not. I thought we had been through all seven, but we didn't. A person with true bitachon will never be overly saddened when he is deprived of something, or even when he loses a loved one. Certainly we mourn. Certainly we're very, very sad. But there is always the understanding that it's not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story. That's why Chazal tell us there's a limit. There's time that we're given the period of mourning to give room to our human emotions, which are part of what make us the great beings that we are. But a person has to have a certain limit. You reach the stage where you're supposed to start moving back into life and not to be going in an ongoing basis, just mourning and grieving, because we understand that there's a next chapter to life. And that Hashem is guiding every chapter of life in the perfect way. He does not stress over anything more than what he needs for today. He does not overly worry about what's going to be tomorrow, next week, and a year from now. Because he doesn't know. He's always taking into account, I don't know when I'm going to go. Why is this connected to Bitachon? Connected to Bitachon because he understands that I am living my life on a program dictated by Hashem. I'm going to stop being busy now. I'll end with this humorous anecdote that brings out this point. But he said, I'm going to stop being busy now, planning, making sure that I'm financially secure in a year from now, in 10 years from now, in 20 years from now. Hashem is planning your life. You have to be responsible. You have to responsibly be taking care of yourself at the moment. And also, to whatever extent responsibility dictates that you should put aside savings, but not to be fretting about times that are deep in the future, because you don't even know if you'll be alive then. It's part of Bitachon is to understand that. I have a life that's being mapped out by Hashem. I'll end with this little humorous anecdote that I was once had the schus of being by Rav Steinman, and I was talking to him about saving. Different things where he was trying to get across the point to me that you're not thinking in realistic terms. Whatever it was, I'm not going to get into all the particulars of it now, but the way he expressed it was, he looks up at me with this little smile and he said to me, it sounds to me like you're afraid that you're going to live for 1,000 years. That was how he got his point home. That's basically the point that the Chavis HaVavis is saying here. Okay, we'll end with that for tonight.
Tov, Rabbi.
Saris Tovis.
Shua Tov.
Shua Tov to everybody. Kol Tov.
Kol Tov.